President Bush says he will sign the nearly $80 billion supplemental spending bill that Congress passed over the weekend. Most of the money will go to pay for the war in Iraq and the fight against terrorism. $4 billion is provided for domestic security. Some critics charge that more needs to be done to protect critical industries that are owned by corporations and municipalities, such as banking and communications, food and energy, the internet and transportation. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling has the first of two reports.
Our story begins on a rickety roof in the middle of a city.
Dan, I want to show you something which we've been concerned about a great deal here.
Nicholas Ashford has been studying toxic chemicals for decades. He's an authority on industrial safety at MIT. He's taken me up on this roof to show why one of the biggest terrorist targets might be in your own backyard.
You see those colored tanks in the distance?
Yes.
Those tanks contain a chemical, in this case it's vinyl acetate, which if released can cause serious lung problems, heart problems, liver problems. If released, you're talking about it going into an area which is 5 miles radius, affecting more than 1 million people.
We're not going to tell you where these tanks are. The Department of Homeland Security warns that Al-Qaeda operatives might be planning to attack a chemical plant.
These plants are sitting ducks. This plant that we see here is along 3 major highways and arteries, any of which people could go by and drive by. These are very easily sabotaged plants.
Security specialists have worried for years that terrorists might target chemical plants. In fact, a government consultant wrote up some possible scenarios in the early 1990s. He predicted that terrorists might blow up a chemical tank and paralyze a whole city.
A lot of people imagine that our chemical industry is located far away from neighborhoods, but it's really quite to the contrary.
Linda Greer is a toxicologist for one of the country's leading environmental groups, the Natural Resources Defense Council. But after 9/11, she got caught up in national security.
Many of our factories are actually nestled in neighborhoods that grew up around them, with factory after factory interspersed with churches and schools and hospitals and neighborhoods. You know, it just doesn't take much imagination to think about what a big bang could happen in one of these places.
According to the Environmental Protection Agency, there are more than 100 plants across the country where a single incident at any one of them could kill or injure more than 1 million people. After 9/11, Greer and her colleagues decided to figure out the fastest way to help protect those communities from terrorists. They gathered aerial photos and maps of chemical plants across the country. They found out which ones keep the biggest tanks of the 20 deadliest chemicals. Finally, the NRDC drafted an emergency action plan, which they said could make the plants a lot safer. And they took their findings straight to the president's staff.
Well, the first person we went to was the EPA administrator, Christy Todd Whitman, and nothing came of it. We took it to Homeland Security, to a top official at Homeland Security. Nothing happened. We took it to the Democratic leadership in the Senate. Somebody needs to be paying attention to this. Nothing.
But at least one politician was paying attention. Senator John Corzine, who's a Democrat, said the solution is simple. Government has to force the chemical industry to make sweeping changes to protect its plants from terrorists. Right after 9/11, industry leaders called on company executives to make their plants safer voluntarily. And Corzine says that's encouraging. But he says exposés in the press keep showing that voluntary measures aren't enough. One reporter from the Pittsburgh Tribune marched right into major chemical plants. He lingered next to huge tanks of deadly chemicals. He even got into the control rooms. And Corzine says, remember, that was after the industry launched its voluntary program.
If we were going to say that it'd be okay to have voluntary security around a nuclear power plant, I think the public would say that's ridiculous. We want to make sure that you have assurance and accountability that those security measures and those safer technologies are actually put in place.
Yeah,
I do want to say that there are a number of corporate entities that I think are doing an outstanding job, but there are others that are not.
Corzine drafted a bill that would tell the industry, you have to do everything you can to protect your plants from terrorists. Companies could take the obvious steps, like build better fences, and that's the kind of thing that industry's voluntary program called for. But Corzine's bill went much further than that. It would tell the executives, you have to figure out if you can make your products in new ways that don't need such dangerous chemicals. This might sound like a fantasy, But consider what one company did to protect Washington, D.C.
Here at the Blue Plains Advanced Wastewater Treatment Plant on the southern tip of D.C., we're treating the wastewater from about 2 million people in Maryland, Northern Virginia, and the District of Columbia.
Mike Marcotte is deputy manager of the plant that cleans the sewage from the nation's capital. You might not figure that a sewage plant would be a target for terrorists. At the moment, we're walking past huge pools of gurgling waste on the banks of the Potomac River. U.S. officials say they found Al-Qaeda computers in Afghanistan that contained maps of plants like this one. Marcotte says most water treatment plants around the country use millions of gallons of toxic chemicals every single day. He used to do it.
We had about 550 tons of chlorine and sulfur dioxide in 790-ton rail cars parked out on these rail spurs.
Right where we're walking right now?
Right where we're standing here.
In fact, chlorine was used as a chemical weapon back in World War I. Researchers have warned for years that if chlorine leaked from the sewage plant here in Washington, D.C., a poisonous cloud could blanket the city, including the Capitol and the White House. Marcotte says nobody took the warning seriously. But then came 9/11.
After a sleepless night on the 11th, I came in on the 12th and convened a number of my engineers and said, I think we need to come up with a plan to get the chlorine out of here as quickly as possible.
Marcotte got rid of the chlorine. And today, he's treating Washington sewage with a much safer chemical instead. It's called sodium hypochlorite, basically strong household bleach. A tank truck pulls up next to us. The driver pulls out a hose and starts pumping bleach into a vat.
So you're telling us that until you changed right after 9/11, a single terrorist with one bomb could theoretically have snuck in here and caused a disaster in all of Washington, D.C.
That's certainly one of the possibilities that kept me awake in September of 2001.
But now, if a terrorist blew up this tank truck, what?
His clothes would get discolored.
That's it?
That's about it.
So why hasn't every wastewater treatment plant around the country, and there are thousands and thousands, why hasn't everybody done this?
Well, I think there's several reasons. Cost more money, both in terms of the chemicals and in terms of the handling.
Analysts say that's one reason why the chemical industry's allies in Congress killed the chemical security bill. I'm Daniel Zwerdling for NPR News.
Tomorrow, the political battle over protecting America's chemical plants.